helping to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. This is the Constitution Study on the America Out Loud Network with your host, Paul Engel. There's an old adage in politics: what you tax, you get less of. What you subsidize, you get more of. This is also true in a more general sense. For example, when a politician crushes the rights of the people they're supposed to serve, when the cities they run become dystopian cesspools, only to be given a sweet deal to teach others how to do it, well, you really can't be surprised when that evil spreads. When those who lie to the public are not punished, you can only expect more lies. And when we, the people, listen to illegal federal agencies rather than telling them to go pound sand, you can't be surprised when their power grows. So the adage is true. You get less of what you punish and more of what you reward. It seems Americans are just fine nowadays with not only punishing good, but rewarding evil. Hello there, everyday Americans. Paul Engel here, the Constitution Study. This is where we read and study the Constitution. We teach the rising generation to be free, and that's what we're looking at today. We get more of what we reward, so maybe we should take a closer look at what it is we're rewarding and maybe even a look at what we've been punishing, and maybe that'll help explain why America's in the state that it's in. Well, let's look at an example. Now, if you look at Chicago, I know there are a lot of people that probably love Chicago. But let's face it, there's a lot of crime in Chicago. There's a lot of violence, a lot of shootings. The Chicago, or at least parts of Chicago, are not exactly what you would hold up as a wonderful place to live. And while I certainly can't lay all the blame at the hands of former Mayor Lori Lightfoot, when it came to COVID, she certainly did a lot of damage. I mean, let's face it, she locked people up. She even threatened people if they didn't listen to her illegal demands and really turned Chicago, made it worse. Now, you would think, okay, she got punished, right? Because, well, she didn't even make it out of the primaries in her bid for re-election. See, there was a punishment. She lost her job. Now, it's funny, I'm on a conference call with a lot of people from Illinois, and I kind of wonder what they're doing based on who their new mayor is, but I want to focus on Ms. Lightfoot, right? So she did a pretty poor job with COVID in Chicago, and I think that was part of the reason why she lost her job. But then again, I just found out that she's been appointed a senior leadership fellow at Harvard University's T.H. Chan School of Public Health. She's going to teach students how to govern, or at least how she governed, during the pandemic. She said, "I've always loved teaching, and the opportunity to get back to it is something I'm excited about. Looking forward to sharing the experiences and perceptions I learned governing through one of the most challenging times in American history." Now, I don't know about you, but if I were looking for a way for someone to teach people the best way, a better way to get through a pandemic, I don't think I'd choose Lori Lightfoot, at least if it came down to things like, oh, the Constitution, rule of law, and whatnot. But Harvard thinks she's great, which means that Ms. Lightfoot, who, by the way, previously taught law at Northwestern University and the University of Chicago, so that just kind of shows how well she learned the topic she was teaching. But now she's going to teach other people about how she dealt with a pandemic. Now, I wonder if in all of this, she's going to violate local laws. She violated laws. She violated the Constitution of Illinois and of the United States. And then she violated her own rules. She violated them by showing up maskless at a WNBA game. Now, again, state and local laws prohibiting or requiring masks were unconstitutional. They were illegal. They were void. But she was imposing those laws on others, and she didn't bother. She didn't bother when she issued a stay-at-home order. She ordered people to stay home in violation of the Constitution. But she went out to get her hair done. And this is the person that Harvard University thinks should be teaching the next generation. In fact, when Ms. Lightfoot instituted a quote-unquote vaccine mandate while in office, again, an illegal act, even her police officers, the city's police union, were trying to induce an insurrection after being told that they would have to take the jab, and the union saying, no, no, you can't experiment on us. So nobody should be surprised when in, 5, 10, 15 years, someone who comes out of the T.H. Chang, Harvard University's T.H. Chang School for Public Health, is mayor of another city, and they do the exact same thing. They institute lockdowns, mask mandates, vaccine mandates, because that's what they're going to be taught. So, you know what? She did get a punishment. Ms. Lightfoot, she lost her job. Kind of seems like she's failing up, though, doesn't it? Now, what about those who have lied to us for so many years? I found this interesting. This is a press release, actually. I found the press release. There was recently at the CDC's 2023 Annual Epidemic Intelligence Service Conference, there was a COVID outbreak. Yes, the conference that deals with epidemics had a breakout of an epidemic. But there's some interesting data in the epidemic, in the results. See, the CDC did a survey to discover who got sick and what was going on. And here's the interesting point. Now, let me read you from the CDC. These are their bullet points. 181, or roughly 13% of respondents, reported testing positive for SARS-CoV-2. All right, so 13% got of those surveyed. They surveyed 1,443 people altogether. 13% tested positive for the SARS virus. Of those who reported testing positive, 52% had no prior COVID-19 infection. 99.4% of respondents had reported at least one COVID-19 vaccine dose. Out of 443, 435 have been given the jab. And guess what? All 181 polls, those were polled, that actually tested positive had gotten the jab. Let me say that again. Of the, 99.4% of those who were surveyed had at least one COVID-19 vaccine. Each and every one of the people who tested positive had been vaccinated. Simply further proof that the quote unquote vaccine is not a vaccine. It doesn't prevent infection. It doesn't prevent spread. But guess how the CDC is spinning this particular piece of information. You see, nobody was hospitalized. So the CDC says COVID-19 vaccines are effective at protecting people from getting seriously ill, being hospitalized, and dying. By the way, they have absolutely no proof of that. I have yet to see any doctor, any study reported that showed that the COVID-19 quote-unquote vaccines are effective at protecting people from getting seriously ill or dying. But let's say that's true. Let's give them that point. That means that the COVID-19 vaccine is not a vaccine. It doesn't prevent infection. It's a therapeutic. It's designed to minimize the impact. But it minimizes the impact on the individual. That means it is not a public health remedy, which means there is absolutely zero need for it to be issued under an emergency use authorization because it's not dealing with a public health emergency. It doesn't stop the spread. You still get infected. You still spread the virus. You still are a contagion. But you see, we've allowed them to lie for these years to the point saying, oh, well, you see, nobody got hospitalized. Yeah, but your vaccine doesn't work. And now they're talking about putting this vaccine in with the flu. They've all but ignored the large number of reports of adverse effects, the dramatic increase in excessive deaths. Why are we not surprised we get more of these? No one should be surprised that of the 181 people surveyed who tested positive for SARS-CoV-2 had gotten the jab. They've been coerced. They've been cajoled. They've been forced. They've been extorted into taking this jab. And they still got sick. But there's another little piece of this puzzle that I want you to think about. You see, there's a new study out that multiple dosers of the Pfizer or Moderna COVID-19 quote-unquote vaccines lead to higher levels of an antibody called IgG4. I think it's immunoglobulin G4. And that can provide a protective effect. But there's a growing body of evidence that indicates that the abnormally high levels of immunoglobulin, the subclass, actually makes the immune system more susceptible to the spike protein. Not only that comes in the SARS-CoV-2 virus, but in the vaccines, the quote-unquote vaccines themselves. Experiments performed on mice found that multiple boosters on top of the initial COVID-19 shot significantly decreased protection against both Delta and Omicron variants, and testing found that a spike in IgG4 levels after repeated Pfizer vaccinations suggested immune exhaustion. If I understand this correctly, what they're saying is all of these multiple shots, these multiple boosters, are wearing your immune system out, meaning it will be less prepared to deal with anything else that might come along. So we have the CDC, which, by the way, again, doesn't legally exist. This is not authorized by the Constitution. How about another one? How about the Department of Education? Just before Memorial Day weekend, officials from the Federal Department of Education sent what's known as a Dear Colleague letter. They were telling the nation's educators that the Biden administration wants to resurrect a policy for what they call race-based discipline. They want to actually investigate and coerce schools to administer their discipline based on the color of the person who committed the offense. Ladies and gentlemen, that is the definition of racism. You're treating races differently. Now, this started, this policy originated under the Obama administration, was rescinded in 2018, and now it's coming back. Now, I want you to think about this. You have an Department of Education, look through the Constitution. You will not find anything authorizing the federal government to regulate education. Period, full stop, end of story. Anybody can show me where that is, tell me. Give me a quote, give me article, a section, and clause, and show me where they have the authorization. And anybody who says the General Welfare Clause, oh, that means that Congress can collect taxes for just about anything they want, do a little research. Was it James Madison, when he was in the House of Representatives, was debating what's called the Cod Fisheries Bill. He says, the General Welfare Clause was never meant to be a Congress can do whatever they want. In fact, if you read the General Welfare Clause, it says that Congress can collect taxes to do three things: to pay the debts, provide for the common defense, and the general welfare of the United States. Capital U, capital S, proper noun. The same proper noun in the 10th Amendment that says, if we didn't authorize the United States to do this through the Constitution, they can't do it. But this is coming back. Why? Because when Barack Obama started this, the states didn't tell him to go pound sand. This is not only is the Department of Education unconstitutional, this by its very nature is this quote-unquote Dear Colleague letter is an unconstitutional coercion to get states to do, schools to perform an unconstitutional discipline. You've got, I mean, the 14th Amendment says that a state shall not deny any person within its jurisdiction the equal protection of the laws. Well, if you're telling me the law in a state is going to say if you commit the same crime in a school or the same disruption, you get two separate punishments based on the color of your skin, that is not equal protection under the law. If stealing if a black kid steals something and they get six and they get suspended for a day, and a white kid steals something and they get suspended for a month, that is not equal protection of the laws. And since we're dealing with public schools or government-run schools, government runs, government-financed, government controls, this is a violation of the 14th Amendment. But you see, because we've been lied to, we've been brainwashed into believing that whatever Congress says is gospel, that as long as the Supreme Court doesn't throw it out, we believe this nonsense. I think every state in the union, every governor of every state that believes in freedom should reply to this dear colleague letter with a dear colleague. You cannot coerce us into being unconstitutional. You have no legal authority to do this. This would be an unconstitutional act. Anybody in the federal government that tries to enforce this within our state will be arrested, will be charged with any state crimes you can find, and will be charged under the federal law, 18 U.S.C. Section 242, deprivation of rights under color of law. But I doubt that's going to happen, because most of our governors are either ignorant or cowardly. Now, I have to take a break. Before I go, though, a couple things for you to consider. The Patriots program will be spinning up soon. I'm trying to get the boot camp ready somewhere around Independence Day. I'm trying to shoot it live and record it so I can use it. And the boot camp is a first step to the Patriots. You can find out more by going to the website, constitutionstudy.com/patriots. Find out more about the Patriots program. There are links to the mini boot camp. If you're in Middle Tennessee and you'd like to join me, you can find information there as well. But while we're at it, you know, one of the things that I encourage people to do is to read and study. That's what John Jay said. Read and study the Constitution. Well, how do you study the Constitution? Well, what I did is I did a clause-by-clause study of the entire Declaration of Independence and the Constitution, and I wrote it down. I called the book The Constitution Study. You can find it at the bookstore, constitutionstudy.com/shop. And it's written in plain conversational English. It's easy to read. It's designed for individuals and small groups to study the Constitution. Now, since you listen to the Constitution Study on America Out Loud, if you go to the online store and you buy a copy of the Constitution Study, I will give you free shipping. Just use the code OUTLOUD when you check out. So again, go to constitutionstudy.com/shop. You'll find a look under books. You'll see the Constitution Study. Just make sure you use that code OUTLOUD at checkout, and I will give you free shipping. While you're at, another place to check out is HealthyCell. They are a leading innovator in products designed and supplements designed to work at the cellular level. One I use regularly is called Focus and Recall. When I need that little boost in the afternoon, I don't reach for a cup of coffee, a cola, or an energy drink. Nope. I reach for Focus and Recall from HealthyCell. It boosts my short-term focus, helps my long-term brain power using nothing but HealthyCell's vitamins. And again, since you're an America Out Loud listener, HealthyCell will give you 25% off your first order. So please go to HealthyCell.com, put your cart together. When you check out, make sure you use that code OUTLOUD. It lets them know that you listen to America Out Loud, and as a thank you, well, you get 25% off your first order.
World-class care from doctors you can trust, all from the comfort of your home. That is One Wellness. Dr. Peter McCullough and his team at The Wellness Company launched the One Wellness membership to provide free monthly supplements and unlimited telemedicine access with doctors that share your values. The Wellness Company's chief medical board designed every supplement and medical protocol with your health in mind. From groundbreaking supplements like the Spike Support Formula to unique care like Freedom from Big Pharma. Join a healthcare system that puts your health and well-being above the interest of Big Pharma's bottom line. It's the way healthcare should be, with a company that shares your values. Go to OutLoudCare.com today and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first month of One Wellness.
Whether you're an independent, a Democrat, or a Republican, one thing remains true. Airborne viruses love us equally. You've all heard Malcolm and the great Dr. Peter McCullough talk about the advanced nasal solution Cofix RX. Cofix is made in the USA and recommended by thousands of doctors and pharmacists nationwide. Did you know that doctors and nurses have been swabbing their noses with povidone iodine to protect from airborne threats like colds, flus, and pandemic-era strains for decades? Cofix RX took that idea and made a more complete nasal formula with lasting cleansing effects. Maybe you're traveling soon or going to an event. Are you concerned somebody nearby might be sick? Maybe the office or classroom stresses you out. Get yourself a bottle of Cofix RX nasal solution. Spray goodbye to colds and flus with a Cofix RX nasal solution cleanse. That's COFIXRX.com. Save 20% by using promo code OUTLOUD at COFIXRX.com.
Well, the OUTLOUD truth was the rallying call that started it all. A wide spectrum of programming from world and political news to societal, your health, and cultural stories. 7 amazing years of news stories, informative podcasts, and great talk radio. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
Welcome back, everyday Americans. You rejoin the Constitution study today. We're pointing out that you reward, what you reward, you get more of. I hear lots of people all the time complaining about the news media. News media, corporate media, whatever term they use. They talk about how they spin information, they lie to you, they hide certain facts and feelings and data. But what's interesting is people seem to keep going back and rewarding them for doing this. For example, I just saw this, it came out of Newsbusters. So recently, there was an altercation outside of a Planned Parenthood. It happened Memorial Day weekend, and Life News reported that, quote, police have confirmed that a pro-abortion man brutally assaulted two older pro-life advocates outside of Planned Parenthood abortion business over the weekend. A Dick Schaefer and Mark Crosby were assaulted and seriously injured during the altercation outside the abortion business. Schaefer is reportedly at home recovering from his injuries, but Crosby was injured much more seriously. Now, why do I bring that up in this context? Well, as of almost a week later, the three broadcast networks, ABC, CBS, NBC, they've ignored the story. See, that's the lie of omission. It's not what they cover, it's what they don't cover. Now, apparently, they found local weather and a story about Dolly Parton holding a 10th world record much more interesting than the fact that a pro-abortion advocate beat two pro-life advocates. Which means if you get all your news from this corporate media nonsense, well, then you'd be understandable. You didn't know that pro-abortion advocates can be violent. Not that they all are violent, but that they can be violent. In fact, Life News counted about 250 abortion-related attacks in 2022 alone, including the shooting of an elderly pro-life woman in Michigan and 10 arsons or attempted arson attacks. But you see, you don't hear that on the nightly news. You don't hear that on most news channels. See, we keep listening to them. If we know they're lying to us directly or indirectly, why do we keep listening to them? Why do we keep putting them on our televisions? Why do we keep clicking on their website? Why do we keep going to their websites for news? We're rewarding them for their bad information, for their malfeasance. So why would they change? Why would they stop? Now, personally, I don't have any accounts in any of the mainstream. I don't watch it. I don't listen to the podcast. The only time I touch anything mainstream media is when one of their articles or websites or something like that is picked up by another news entity and it has something that I find is important and I can't find anywhere else. Doesn't mean it doesn't exist anywhere else. It's not in my other news feeds, right? So, you know, if it's not on things like Epic Times, Tennessee Star, these other sites I go to, then okay, I'll go to the mainstream media. But that's how I can bring you that information. I try to, as much as I can, to avoid giving them clicks because I don't want to reward them for their bad behavior. But too many Americans do. It's funny, they want government to shut up this bad information, but they're not willing to simply walk away themselves. And while we're at it, government's getting into the act. The Department of Homeland Security awarded a $350,000 grant to the University of Dayton to create what they call a far-right radical and terrorism threat. They call it the pyramid of far-right radicalization. Now, looking at this, even things like Fox News, the Heritage Foundation, CBN, Christian Broadcasting Network, the Republican Party, John Birch Society, they are considered, they call them level one, right? Kind of this average Christian conservative Republican, low-level terrorist. Not inherently dangerous, but, dangerous, but not too dangerous. But even things like, Prager University, MAGA, Breitbart, they are considered, alt-light. Turning Point USA, alt-light. But I want you to notice what the DHS didn't fund. And that's the pyramid of far-left radicalization. You don't see Antifa, BLM. You don't see anything related to the pro-life attacks. You don't see any of those on this list. No. We reward them by keeping them in their job for viewpoint discrimination. That's right. This is viewpoint. We don't like the right. Therefore, we're going to consider them radicalized and dangerous, and we're going to ignore the left. And as long as we keep hiring these people, as long as our public servants keep funding these projects, because remember, DHS can't spend a dime without Congress appropriating the money. Isn't it about time that Congress seriously defund things like the pyramid of far-right radicalization? Or how about the racist Department of Homeland or the Department of Education Dear Colleague letter? And while we're at it, there's been a lot of interest lately about what's happened to we're going on Disney and Anheuser-Busch with Bud Light at Target and these other places that are we'll say paying a penalty for their promotion of LGBTQ plus MICKEYMOUSC policies. What's interesting, though, is these places are still in business. I mean, they are paying a penalty. Yet we find out now that in a private meeting, President Biden is urging U.S. corporations to leverage their collective power to drive these policies. Now, what you're going to hear is an onstage interview with, I think it's Beth Brooke Markinac. She's a board director and former global vice chairman of public policy for the Business for Social Responsibility.
In Davos a couple of years ago, Vice President Biden met privately with those of us working behind the scenes, and he sat down with us and looked us in the eye, and he said, you companies can do what we government cannot and will never do. You have to change the world on this issue.
So the president is trying to get a group of corporations that are working behind the scenes, a little backdoor dealing, to do what the federal government cannot do. Ladies and gentlemen, that's illegal. The courts have been quite true. They've been quite forceful about this. The government cannot get other third parties to do what it's not legally allowed to do. This is a high crime. What crime, you ask? How about deprivation of rights under a color of law? So we didn't authorize the president to act as a spokesperson. Now, this Ms. Brooke McKernick, she's promoting something called the PGLE. Let me let her explain what this is.
Why don't you tell the audience about PGLE? What does it do? Why is it important? And we would love to have more companies join in.
But this story about Davos and the handful of us that found each other. So the PGLE, Partnership for Global LGBTI Equality, this is a group that was formed in collaboration with the World Economic Forum after 5 or 6 years of working behind the scenes with senior leaders at just a handful of companies. This organization was founded in January of 2019. Can you believe that? The World Economic Forum just agreed to do it this January. So we have there in collaboration with them. We can use their channels of distribution, their brand. They're now in the mainstream, on the main stage in Davos, and into the mainstream of the programming at the World Economic Forum. It's founded by 7 companies. We are signing on more. We want more. We have 14 now. But what are we committed to do? We are committed to change the world for LGBTI inclusion around the world, not by competing with other LGBTI organizations, but by amplifying and lifting, by using the platform of the World Economic Forum, both in Davos, but also regionally and around the world. Also working with the UN, trying to get these companies to, you have to have signed on to the UN standards in order to join the partnership.
How many companies have signed on to that now?
270. Our goal is to get many, many more.
You want to know where the woke showed up in corporate America? Sure, a lot of it came from our colleges and universities. Here you have a group of large corporations in league with the World Economic Forum, the United Nations, to change the world. Not to convince you that it's right, to force change on the world. So when I look at a Target or an Anheuser-Busch and they get their stocks crash because of their promotion of an ideology that the vast majority of Americans are not behind, to me that's a slap on the wrist. Because you've got at least 268 other companies, assuming that these two are part of the PGLE, that are still promoting this agenda. And they are backed by the World Economic Forum, by the United Nations. In other words, the money that you collect in taxes that the United States is paying to the United Nations may be in part being used to deprive you of your rights back here, to put your daughters and your wives and your sisters in danger, to deny them scholarships and championships and rewards, to pretend that a woman doesn't exist. It's all in your mind. So yes, we should be punishing those government actors that are trying to go around the Constitution to get what they want. But we should also be punishing the corporations that are using their power, their collective purchasing power, to push you, to nudge you, to shove you in a direction you may not want to go. And I think it's important on all of us. I put it this way, I've been a great fan of Chick-fil-A. And the idea that they now have a diversity, equity, and inclusion officer makes me very concerned about the future of that company. And I really would hate to lose their chicken sandwiches. But I'll tell you what's more important than good tasting chicken. And that's the rights and freedoms of the American people. And if Chick-fil-A, after all they went through and all the proof that was shown that if you do the right thing, people will buy your product. If they're going to cave, then I got to walk away from them. I don't know. So far, all I've heard is they've got the officer. I'm waiting to see what the policies come out. But if we continue to reward these corporations for shoving us in a direction we don't want to go, we cannot be surprised when they continue to do so. You cannot be surprised that Walmart, I heard, is now on board, is now selling these trans products and promoting them. We cannot be surprised until they pay a price. Sure, it means a little bit of work for you and maybe a little bit of pain for you. What is your right and freedom and liberty worth? Our founding fathers pledged their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honor for liberty. Can't you give up a chicken sandwich? Or maybe driving to another store, or even better yet, don't go to another corporate store, go to another mom and pop store. Can't you pledge even that? Oh yeah, and I almost forgot this article. This is great. So I want to go back to the Department of Education for a moment. Because remember, they talked about racist discipline. Well, they also are 100% behind this LGBT mafia. They're pushing this Pride Month. I heard somebody, Memorial Day weekend, actually it was a post related to my Memorial Day article, and they said something that really made my jaw drop. How is it in America we will spend a month celebrating every perversion under the window, right? Lesbian, gay, bisexual, trans, all this nonsense gets a whole month. And the men and women who died so we could live free get one day. One day. And even that day has now become more about cookouts and auto racing than it is about the men and women who died to protect our rights and our freedom. And the Department of Education, they're promoting it. They posted on Twitter, they said, everyone in the school community should feel valued for who they are and free to be their authentic self. Our message to LGBTIQ students, teachers, and staff as we begin Pride Month, Ed has your back. Oh, so if you're LGBT, they've got your back. But if you're a normal straight person, forget about it. They don't got your back. In fact, they're out to stab you in the back. And I have some examples of that coming up, but that's going to have to wait till after the break. Before I go, though, you know, I keep reminding you, the Constitution study is just one voice. It's one voice in the multitude. It's one voice here at America Out Loud. But it's a voice worth listening to. But if you want to hear more, well, do the same thing I do. Go to AmericaOutLoud.com every day to find the latest news and happenings. Then do the other thing I do. So I go through their feed. I go through all their stuff. And I pick out articles that I find interesting, and I share them. I post them on social media. I email them to friends and family. I text them to other people I work with. You can do the same. You can take those stories, those articles, those podcasts and videos, the things that say what you're thinking, but you don't quite know how to articulate, or they just give you articulated better, or they just have the facts and evidence that you need. You can share them. And as you do, you're doing more than just spreading information. You're actually helping to secure the blessings of liberty.
Trouble getting to sleep and staying asleep is infuriating. Your mind races, you toss and turn, and the harder you try, the harder it is to drift off. And today's fast-paced digital age makes it tougher. You're not alone. Poor sleep affects over 70% of us. The CDC even labeled insufficient sleep a public health epidemic. Advanced Nutrition Company, Healthy Cell, created REM Sleep to help you quickly fall asleep, stay asleep, sleep deep, and wake refreshed. Unlike other supplements that don't work, REM Sleep is not a pill. It's a gel you swallow with ultra-absorption of science-backed ingredients, supporting all four stages of sleep using calming herbs, amino acids, and sleep hormone support. Over 1,000 reviews with an average star rating of over 4.4 proves it works. Take back your sleep. Go to HealthyCell.com and use limited time code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order. Risk-free. Love it or your money back. Guaranteed. HealthyCell.com. Code OUTLOUD. HealthyCell.com. Code OUTLOUD.
You wouldn't go a day without brushing your teeth or washing your hands. What about washing your nose? I mean, your nose does filter the air you breathe. Air loaded with bacteria, viruses, and irritants. Make nasal hygiene part of your routine with Clear. No messy bottles to fill, no drowning sensation. Clear is a natural drug-free saline with the added benefit of xylitol, which blocks bacterial and viral adhesion. Available in stores and online at clear.com. That is X-L-E-A-R.com.
Welcome back, everyday Americans. You've rejoined the Constitution study. Today, we're showing that what we've allowed to be rewarded, what we ourselves have rewarded, we're getting more of. We are suffering the consequences of our own decisions, our own lack of actions. And we the only way we're going to fix it is if we do something. Now, let me give you some examples. Recently, an Oklahoma parent filed a lawsuit against the Edmond Public School District. The parent claims that back in October of last year, about 7:15 in the morning, a boy that the school knew regularly used the girls' bathroom, right? Not the boys' bathroom. Understand, in Oklahoma, there was a law that says in public schools, students must use the restroom that matches the sex on their birth certificate. It is not legal for a boy to use a girl's room. If he doesn't want to use a boy's room, he has to use a single-sex bathroom. But he kept doing it, and the school knew about it. And this parent's daughter, according to the complaint, was attacked and severely beaten in the girl's bathroom by a boy. The lawsuit also alleges that this student, the quote-unquote transgender student, had a previous history of violence. Now, just a few days before the alleged attack, the district had removed the student from the girl's bathroom, searched him for a weapon after he allegedly threatened other girls, and it was eventually reported by students. The school knew about it, and they didn't do much. So now you have a lawsuit. This, by the way, is a redress of grievance. And hopefully, the school district will be punished. Now, hopefully, this is my hope, because too often what I see is all people want is, I want a letter, I want you to admit that there was a problem. Sometimes they want some money, sometimes they just want nominal, you know, pay my legal fees. No, what I want is, what I personally would want is I would want the administrators involved in this. I want the people who did not properly deal with this problem, I want them dismissed. I want them barred from ever holding a position at the public schools in Oklahoma ever again. This is a safety issue. If these people simply get a slap on the wrist and no individual gets punished, there's no reason for them to change. You must punish the individuals who did this, who allowed this to happen. And by allowed, I don't mean, well, they stood back and they knew they had a problem. Did they take action commensurate to the problem? In other words, if you forget the transgender, if you take just transgender out of that, if you have a student that was known to be violent, that was committing violence in the restrooms, and you did nothing to correct that, there would be a criminal complaint. Just because the boy thinks he's a girl doesn't mean he should get away with it. And I don't think the people that allowed it to happen should be allowed to get away with it either. Otherwise, they're going to keep doing it. There's no incentive for them to stop unless the individuals who allowed it to happen are punished. And here's another example. I talked before about a Vermont father who worked at a school, public school, and he was fired for supporting his daughter and speaking out against boys in the girls' locker room. Now, I just found out that the Vermont school settled. Under the settlement, the father, Travis Allen, he'll be reinstated. They will scrub any records of discipline against him or against his daughter from school records. So the message gets wiped away. Now, the settlement also requires the school district, the Orange Southwest School District Board, and school officials named in the lawsuit to remove any content posted online by the school related to the locker room issue. Okay, that's fine. And again, I'm happy for the family. I'm happy for the father. I'm happy for the daughter. But you know what I don't see? Maybe I'm wrong. I haven't read the entire entire settlement. But what I don't see is the individuals who allowed this to happen. The individuals that used their position to fire Mr. Allen for a political point of view, I don't see them getting fired. If they were willing to fire him, if they were willing to punish his daughter, why are they not being fired for their malfeasant actions? I mean, yes, the settlement is a victory, and I'm happy for it, but my problem is it's not enough. In my mind, the school district has not been punished. More accurately, the individuals in the school district, they've hidden behind the school district. The school district will reinstate them. The school district will remove information. But nobody, the person that actually fired Mr. Allen, paid no price. No real price. So there's no reason why they wouldn't turn around and do it again. In another lawsuit, in this case coming out of Connecticut, where a 20-year-old runner is suing the state for their policies, the allowing of men to compete in women's sports, saying that she lost more than 20 races during her high school track career to boys because of this policy. Now, this suit, I believe, is entering its third year. This has been years she's been trying to do this. And, you know, she points out it's nothing against the transgender. It's basic biology. It's something we all should have learned in high school. You know, male bodies and female bodies are generally different. 99%+ of the time, the differences matter in certain competitions. Things like running and swimming. And it's not fair. We created a Title IX specifically to protect women, to allow them to compete in sports on a fair playing field, to not be just blown out of the water by men competing against women. And this school district, the Connecticut law, prevents that. It's the exact opposite. But I'm still waiting. Where are the Connecticut lawmakers? The Connecticut, the people who put this policy in place, will they ever be punished? Will they lose their job? Will they lose their pension? Will they lose something for treating women as not even second class citizens, all but not existing? See, that's the problem. We think a lawsuit where the school district or the county or the state pays some money punishes them. No, because it's the people who are making these decisions that need to be punished as well. While we're at it, let's go all the way over to Idaho, where high school senior Travis Lohr has been banned from his own graduation. Why was he banned? Because he dared, I guess there was an event where the seniors were asked to share advice with the lower classmen. And in his advice, he said, guys are guys and girls are girls. There is no in between. For that, the school district, the Kellogg High School, is banning him from his own graduation. But what's interesting is in an interview, the young man said, I didn't direct it at any groups or anything like that. It was just something I chose to say in the moment. He said, then there was a short pause and then an uproar of cheers. See what's going on here? The students recognize guys are guys and girls are girls. There's no in between. They recognize it. But the leadership, the school district, the high school, doesn't want that truism to be told. Doesn't want the students to hear that, even though the students already know that it is true. Now, apparently, before the graduation, it was before the, at least 100 students and parents gathered outside the school. This, by the way, happened to include a popular bus driver who participated. They walked out. In fact, the bus driver walked out on his own time. And before the protest had even finished, the bus driver was summarily fired for no specified reason. Now, the bus driver was asked, he was given the opportunity to explain why he joined the walkout. He said, I saw the thing on Facebook last night about how he was not being allowed to walk because of his very factual assertion that there are only two genders, and it did not sit well with me. Well, amen. Thank you. I'm glad he did this. He asked for a message to be passed along to students. He says, I'm sorry I won't be driving anymore and that I will miss them all very much. I hope they always stand up for themselves, even if it's hard. It has been an honor and a privilege. That, from a bus driver, I'm so glad to hear that. From a position, someone who's willing to give up his job. He didn't rail about losing his job. He said he was sorry he wouldn't get to drive them anymore, that he will miss them. But he was willing to stand up with them, even though it was hard. And I'm glad he did. But it's time for more of us to stand up, and especially, please, our parents. See, in Lincoln Elementary School in the Olympia School District, they gave fourth and fifth graders a sex ed lesson. Fourth and fifth graders, 9, 10-year-olds. This happened back earlier in May. This, by the way, this lesson was created by Planned Parenthood. And it showed different changes that happens in the body and all that. They were exposed to the gender wheel, which I don't know what a gender wheel is, except I'm guessing it. It's like the Wheel of Fortune, right? You spin it and see what sex comes out. And according to parents, they were told that their students were taught that a puberty-blocking hormone can be helpful during puberty. One of the fathers said, "Our primary concern for our kids is the fact that the school district presented the information as being very neutral and, quite honestly, basic pubescence anatomy-driven. Then we became privy to the actual content of the presentation after the fact and at our own discovery, not the school's disclosure. It was completely different." So this should be a surprise to no one. There's been reports for months now. I've been talking about schools that are grooming children into these lifestyles and hiding it from the parents. But they've got no reason to stop because not one of them has been punished. Not once, even the school districts that may have lost a lawsuit, not one of them, not one of the individuals that have done this have been punished. So there's no reason for them to stop. So I have to ask the parents in the school district that are upset with this lesson, what are you doing? How many of you are running for school board? How many of you are already picking different people to be on the school board? How many of you are realizing that what the school is doing to your children and doing something about it by making sure the people that did this are fired, punished somehow? Because if you do not punish evil, you simply get more evil. All these cities with these DAs that refuse to prosecute crime and crime runs rampant should have made it obvious. But I'm not talking about simply about crime. It's true with all forms of evil. If we do not punish the individuals that are committing these acts, they have no reason to stop. They have no reason to change. They have no reason to do anything different. Which means while it is their fault for what they have done, in many ways, we're complicit. Not legally complicit, but we're morally complicit. You know, if I had a dog that bit people, and I knew the dog bit people, the dog had bitten people in the past, and I refused to punish the dog and to deal with the dog, and it went off and bit somebody, that person would have a just cause to sue me, to punish me for not dealing with this problem. The same is true for the parents of the school district, for the parents of school districts that are listening to the Department of Education, that if you refuse to punish bad actions, you not only can expect, you must expect more bad actions. If you do not punish evil, you will get more evil. And when you support evil, you will get more evil. Now, my purpose is not to simply rant and rave, but I want to show you that as an individual, there's something you can do. No, you can't fix the Department of Education all by yourself. You can't fix the school district all by yourself. But what you can do is you can protect your children. You can put the safety and future of your children above the political agenda. You do it in the schools. You do it in the corporations you do business with. You do it with the public servants you hire. Stop looking for someone else to go fix this problem for you. We need to start fixing it ourselves. No, you're not going to fix the national problem in your hometown. But if you can fix your hometown, if you look at these school districts, if you can fix that school district, you've made it better for your children. Isn't that enough? Isn't that a good start? Isn't that worthy of the job? But you see, if you do it in your school district, and I do it in my school district, and that person over there does it in their school district, guess what? It spreads. If we teach people that we can hire public servants that will actually fulfill their oath to the Constitution, I don't mean say they will, I mean actually do it, we start making changes. We have rewarded evil for decades in this country. We're not going to change it overnight, but change it we can. Once we realize that it's A, within our power, and B, worthy of our effort. So I go back to the Declaration of Independence, men who pledged their lives, fortunes, and sacred honor to liberty, to independence, to freedom. What will you pledge? I don't mean you have to pledge to die to protect your children, although I'm sure many of us would. But will you live in a way that protects their rights and their liberties and your freedom? Not just of your children, of your family, and of your neighbors. Will you live that way? Will you spend your money that way? Will you take your finances and use it for good, supporting businesses that are not trying to indoctrinate everybody into a certain lifestyle, an agenda? Sure, it may cost you more money. Isn't it worth it? What are your rights worth? Will you pledge to yourself, to your family, to your neighbors, on your sacred honor, that you will support good and punish evil, even if it costs you? Stop trying to fix the country. Fix your neighborhood. Enjoy those benefits, and then watch as they spread. Now, I thank you for joining me here, and I hope you join me every weekday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time for the Constitution Study on America Out Loud Talk Radio, heard on the iHeartRadio Network. If you can't listen then, all my shows typically go to podcast, a day or two after they're heard on talk radio, and you can listen on your favorite podcast app. But do me a favor, subscribe to the show. Leave me a rating or a review. It helps other people find the Constitution Study as well, and if you like it, I'm sure you want to share it. You can find all the links you need at the homepage of AmericaOutloud.com. But I'm asking you to share that information. Share it with friends, share it with family, share it wherever you can. See, that need to share, that ability to share, is not just the sharing this program, but helping to share the blessings of liberty.